When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Forever Dog.
Two girls, one life. This week on the podcast, Twins by Caroline B. Cooney.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are discussing today Twins by Caroline B. Cooney. And I'm sorry, I was caught off guard by that tagline.
Yes.
Because if you say two girls,
yes,
what are you
thinking of? I know. You're thinking
of the sitcom Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Yes.
You're thinking of the movie Two and a Half Men.
The movie. You're thinking of the film Three Men and a Baby. It just calls it to mind and you cannot help but laugh.
You cannot help but have a little chuckle.
A little chuckle
at such, just like a raunchy, kind of raunchy comedy. Certified banger of a book.
Wow. What an entry into the point horror oeuvre.
Yes. I mean, stunning.
Really, this is all-time, all-time high.
All-time high. Like, absolutely.
This is not a bit, you guys. This is a stunner.
This is a stone-cold stunner. It is a wild ride. It is truly, like, there was a moment that I, like, was very excited for you to get to, and I'm very excited when you texted me, and it was clear that you had gotten to it. Because, like, okay, first things first, Caroline B. Cooney is so good at concepts. Mm-hmm. Like, all of her stuff, like, first of all, I was like, we need to fucking adapt this for Lifetime.
Yes.
Because what a concept, right?
Like, this is a very also written very dreamily.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Caroline B. Cooney is really good at that. Like, she, with Face on the Milk Carton. It's just that classic, mm-hmm. like, what if the face you saw in the milk carton was yours? Like, mm-hmm. oh, already. Wow. Right?
Or yeah, this, I'm drawn
like,
in.
Where twins, like a cool twin and a loser twin trade places. Cool twin dies as loser twin. And then loser twin just lives the life of cool twin. Like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the details just make it even better. This book was amazing. I mean, it was insane.
This book delivers. Yeah.
Absolutely delivers.
It is wild.
It's so wild. Okay, I'm going to read the back of the book, which is also written very dreamily.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Lee and Madrigal are identical twins, exactly alike in every way. Mirror images, two halves of one whole, or so it appears. Until they are separated, leaving Mary Lee lost and alone, and Madrigal more beautiful, more popular, and happier than ever, with a boy who loves her. Mary Lee wishes she could live her sister's life, but when her wish comes true, Mary Lee is horrified to find out that Madrigal was not the person she seemed to be.
Yep. Accurate.
Accurate.
We stand an accurate plot summary.
Yeah. And it's accurate with, but still kind of misleading in a good way. Because mm-hmm. when I read the back of this book, I thought that maybe she accidentally switched bodies with her or something. Which is kind of weird to have a
also
body
fun.
Switch in
also
a twin
fun. In
situation.
A twin. Yeah, why?
Mm. Where it's like, why
What's
do that?
The purpose? Although, why yeah, do why? That here?
Yeah. I mean, why do that here? Mm-hmm. But I mean, literally, like, every new detail we learn, the book gets better and better. Truly. Because at first,
I did not see any of this coming at any point ever. At no point was I like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I was constantly going, what?
The entire time I was like, something is fucking going on and I need to know what. It was truly.
Well, when the book started, I was like, okay, so does Madrigal not exist? Also, her I fucking name is Madrigal.
Mm-hmm.
These are twins, Mary and Madrigal.
Yes.
It sounds like a joke name.
It does.
So I thought Madrigal didn't exist because Madrigal was saying nothing.
And she was being very weird.
And I assume that that was on purpose to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, to kind of like make specifically, Mary Lee. I wonder if the intention was to make the reader wonder if Madrigal was real.
Yeah, I think so. Because it certainly made Mary Lee an unreliable narrator. Like, I didn't believe her, even though I had no reason. Like, she is reliable.
Yeah, she's sane. She has all of her faculties of reason.
She's just mistaken.
She's just been deceived.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to read just the beginning so people can get a feel for the writing. Because like you said, it makes her seem like she might be an unreliable narrator in a very like Shirley Jackson-y,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
dreamy way of being kept off balance. Chapter 1. They were sending Mary Lee to boarding school. She could not believe it. Identical twins separated? Mary Lee's lovely olive skin was stretched with fear. What does that mean? Her beautiful hazel eyes with their fringe of long black lashes were wide with panic. Each swing of hair, each lift of brow was mirrored in her identical twin. If it had been a fairy tale and one twin had said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" the mirror could have made no answer, for two qualified. "Listen," said Mary Lee, striving to stay calm. Her parents admired calm. "Madrigal and I have never been separated. You don't understand because you're ordinary people, but we're identical twins. We're not regular sisters. If you send one of us away, we won't be whole."
Yeah.
And then I'm going to skip forward a bit. Let me see. So she just gets like increasingly frantic. Madrigal's saying nothing. It just keeps implying Madrigal's doing the exact same thing. And the parents are like, this is unhealthy how close you are.
And I mean, the one thing she does end up saying being so, even though the book was very like dreamy and kind of confusing, I could still see where, how it was panning out at the beginning in a very dreamy mm-hmm. way where like Madrigal's just kind of like almost floating behind her parents. And then when she finally, Mary Lee finally makes eye contact with Madrigal and Madrigal's like, "I think it's a good idea." I was like, yeah. What?
Yeah. Like, and that's the mark of a good writer where you're like already and over such a small thing, you're like, oh, damn.
Yep.
She is not shaking.
Yep. Yeah. I was
excited about it.
I was like, she has never been stronger. Oh my God. And then, okay, I want to tell you the most savage fucking insult that I want to say to somebody someday, but it's so specific. And I wonder if you recall it. Okay, so when Mary Lee goes to boarding school, she's like very depressed and like feels like half of her is missing and she doesn't talk to anyone. And she's also instructed by her parents to like not talk about the fact that she has an identical twin, which is very strange.
She's very weird.
And so she doesn't. And she doesn't really talk to anybody because she doesn't know how to be herself, which we learn is part of the reason why her parents sent her away anyway. And she's not allowed to call her sister. They're only allowed to write letters to each other.
And all of this really makes it seem like either there never was a Madrigal or Madrigal is dead.
Right. So then this letter comes and Madrigal's like, I'm coming to visit you. And she's like, oh my God, yay. Okay, thank God, because like I've been feeling so weird and alone and like I have no friends and I don't talk to anybody. So she's like running around all of a sudden full of this like new energy to all the girls. And she's like, my identical twin is coming. My identical twin is coming. And they're like, okay, you remember 6 months into school that you have an identical twin, whatever. And she's like, no, I do. I do. And she's coming and she's coming. And then one girl says, so she's identical to you, huh? Then like, who cares? And I was like,
oh, those girls are so bitchy.
It was beautiful. And then Madrigal does come.
That whole section of them being like so dismissive of the fact that she's excited about this identical twin coming. Oh, I took a screenshot. They're being so weird. And everybody's kind of talking about twins in a way that makes absolutely no sense. Here it is. The next day at meals, she assaulted tables and gatherings that she had ignored long enough that they now ignored her. I'm an identical twin, she cried, and my twin is coming to visit for the 3-day weekend. The popular girls exchanged long looks. It happens at this time of year, said Marilyn with a shrug. Too much winter. The useless ones get crazy. They start believing in identical twins. I was like, so you're telling me this is a standard response to it being February, Marilyn? What are you talking about? They start believing. I was like, as though they're not real.
It truly is.
They start believing in the fairy tale of identical twins, which, as we all know, is not a real occurrence.
Okay, here's what I will say. If I'm imagining myself in, is it Marilyn? Marilyn's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And this like weird quiet girl who's never mentioned having a twin all of a sudden runs up to me, who never spoken to me, and says, like, I have an identical twin, and she's coming to school. I would be like, okay, but, like, I can't believe you. Because, like,
yeah,
why are
I would also think you? She was lying. 100%.
Yes, 100%. But it is like, funny, their phrasing.
You've never like, talked to us before.
Them. No.
And now you are talking to us, and you're going on about an identical twin. You are lying. You're a liar.
Yeah, you're a liar. But she's not. And we learn that Madrigal's real because she comes to school and she's like very popular and beautiful and has all these stories and everybody fucking loves her. And it just really makes Mary Lee be like, oh, so it is possible to like make friends. I'm just like the bad version.
Yeah. Okay. I'm the lesser twin.
Mm-hmm. And that whole time. Oh, I also really felt for Mary Lee when, like, Madrigal gets out her ski clothes. So Madrigal's like, let's go skiing. And she's like, I don't know. I'm just going to study. And she's like, come on. Everybody's going to go. You live right next to a ski resort at this boarding school. You might as well go.
So she's that like, is fine. So funny that their boarding school is across from a ski resort.
I know. lucky. Are they in, like, Vail or something? And so she's like, Madrigal comes out and she's dressed in not the neon of the season, but like just like very classy ski clothes.
She's wearing like a burgundy suit with green plaid and like black fringe or something. Not fringe like hang, but like black lace accents or something.
Yeah, like she's looking very like Burberry, you know, she's like, yeah, she's looking very classy and like
very Mary like Lee is, 1994.
Yes. And she's like, oh, she looks so grown up and like I look so I could just be lost in the crowd. She stands out. Now, we never learn the real reason why Madrigal came out there. Why do you think she did?
To kill Mary Lee.
You thought she was going to kill Mary Lee?
Yeah, that's what John Pear says. John Pear.
I know, but I felt like he was lying.
John Pear says over and over, I think she went there to like fucking kill Mary Lee. And then either I started to form this like headcanon that she had killed herself to get away from John Pear.
Oh,
but like possibly. Went there to kill Mary Lee, couldn't do it, or was like setting her ski lift up to fail, or like knew the one she had set up to malfunction and dump her out.
Right.
Was going to like kind of relegate Mary Lee to that one, changed her mind, switched ski outfits with her, and then got herself killed on purpose.
Wow.
That's my theory.
Well, so that's what happens. They trade spots or they trade clothes because Madrigal's like, look, like, try just wearing my clothes and pretend to be me and like just be fun and friendly. And then you can prove to the girls that like you that's how you can be. And so this will be a great way for you to get like a fresh start.
Yeah. Like you just need a jump start, like a car.
Yeah. And Mary Lee's like, okay. So they trade clothes. And then Mary Lee finds out that, like, everyone's like, I wish that you went to school here and not your boring fucking sister.
Yeah, you're fucking dud of a twin.
And she's like, oh, uh-huh.
And you then, have to, like, vacation with us on the islands.
Oh, my God. She gets invited to all these things. And then she sees her twin dressed as her, just alone and being ignored by everybody. And she's like, wow, like, that's what I looked like. I feel bad for myself. I should have been trying at least a little. And then as they're on the, she's like behind Madrigal. Madrigal's on her own ski lift chair because she doesn't have anyone to sit with at pretending to be Mary Lee. And then she just falls off of the fucking chair. The chair breaks. She falls down onto some rocks and is dead, dead, dead.
Legitimately dead. I thought she was going to come back.
I thought she was going to come back, but she is dead.
They cremated that bitch.
Yeah. We might as well have been right there in the cremation chamber with her. Like, she is dead. So she doesn't come back. She's dead. Which I liked that. I liked that there was no surprise.
Yeah, I'm glad that this isn't what happened in the story, because what happened was so much weirder.
I mean... Yeah, you guys, we're in like the juicy fun part right now. Like, we are yet to really get in the weeds.
We have not reached the surrealist, like, Lynchian nightmare that this book becomes.
Because there is a specific moment in which I felt the couch fall away under me, because I was like, I was like, wait, what? He does what?
I can't picture what's happening.
I was like, exactly. I was like,
does he have control over them?
Yes. Yes. Also, okay. I mean, we will get, okay. There are like two moments. Okay. I'm thinking of two moments. There's one that's earlier and then there's one that's later, because you're now reminding me when you said, does he have control over them? I was like, also, I was like, what is the status of this town? Like, there's a lot happening.
There's a leather gang? There's
So, okay. So she, oh, and she keeps talking to Madrigal, and Madrigal's like, I have this wonderful boyfriend. This is before Madrigal dies. And Madrigal's like, I have this wonderful boyfriend. His name is John Pear. And they just keep calling him John Pear.
John Pear.
Over and over. Name. John Pear. J-O-N space P-E-A-R. John Pear. And Mary Lee is like, you never told me about your boyfriend. Oh, and then when she's like, do you ever talk to John Pear about me? And Madrigal's like, no. She's like, okay. Like,
I want him only to love me as me.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want him to think there could even be two of us.
Oh my God, I forgot what he keeps saying to her too. Oh my God. Fuck. Okay. So Mary Lee's like, her sister dies and she's freaking out. She's like, I'm Mary Lee. I'm Mary Lee. Because everyone's like, Mary Lee's dead. Mary Lee died. And she's like, I'm Mary Lee. And they're like,
no, she's okay, not. The problem is she's not saying I'm Mary Lee. They're like, oh, so sorry, Madrigal. And she just goes, Mary Lee. And they're like, tragic. Oh, right. What happened to her, Mary Lee? And she's like, no, Mary Lee. And they're like, yes, so sad.
Or I think there's one time where she says, there's one time she says it. I think she's at the hospital. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm Mary Lee. And they're like, twins do this a lot.
Tragic.
Like, this is really sad. We should sedate her again. So they just keep sedating her. And she's like, ah, ah. And her parents come and they're being kind of weird, but they're, you know, upset.
You know, a kid take, just died.
Right. Their kid. And they take
kid.
Her home.
Whose kid? You know, hard to say.
Coincidentally, it was theirs. They take her home and she goes to her own fucking funeral. I would have eaten this shit up as a 13-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Except nobody says anything nice. And so that's a nightmare.
Absolute nightmare that no one says anything about her because no one knows anything about her. But
and
she
no
later
one comes
finds
up
out.
To Madrigal, a.k.a. Mary Lee, to like express their condolences. And she's like, gosh, I feel so alone.
Yeah, she's like, wow, I really left no print on anybody. But we learn later it's because everyone's terrified of Madrigal.
Because Madrigal's fucking evil and weird.
Madrigal's evil and strange. It's like this fucked up Bonnie and Clyde situation.
Mm-hmm. It's like if everyone in Heathers knew what Christian Slater and Winona Ryder
yes.
were doing.
Yes. 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 And we're just like, I don't know.
Just like, we can't tell anyone, but like, that's yeah. really, but like, we're not friends.
I don't know. So she comes back and at first people are like, oh, I'm sorry for your loss in her French class. And she kind of is noticing that the principal's afraid of her. And she's like, this is weird, but whatever. Maybe he just doesn't know how to deal with grief. And then she sees there's this girl that she liked that she's had exactly two experiences with people outside of her twin. One was going shopping with Scarlett at the mall. And one was like going on a date for strawberry sundaes with Scarlett's brother, Van, which is just very adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees Scarlett and Van and she's like, hey. And Van is like, get the fuck away from my sister, you bitch.
You fucking cracked out. Fucking crazy. Like, after what you did to her. And I was like, what the fuck did she do?
Yeah.
Because this was mere bullying reaction.
Nor was
it mere bullying.
No, it was not. Like, truly, like, with every moment, I was like, oh, damn, we're going to find out some gossip right now. Like, I was like, every moment, I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, this moment, I was like, what was Madrigal fucking up to? Oh, that's the other thing. Mary Lee is like in the house and she overhears her parents saying, I don't miss her.
Like, I feel bad, but at least it's something like, let me just see if I can find it.
Because what they're saying is truly horrifying. Yeah. No, they were saying losing a daughter is hard, but if one of them had to
if
go.
If we had to lose one, I'm glad it was that one. And then. And the mom is like, are we making a mistake? And the dad is like, no, having twins was the mistake. And I was like, you can't control that.
I was like, were they an experiment? Like, I was truly like, what? How? How are they a mistake?
I don't understand.
It's so good. And then she's like, oh, Van, like, I still have a crush on you. And I really want to be friends with Scarlett. But, like, obviously Madrigal did something to them that was, like, horrible, but I don't know what. And, then she meets John Pear. Let me tell you something.
Finally. Madrigal's boyfriend, who she talked about endlessly.
And who's been mentioned
never really
probably 50
described.
Times.
Described.
I was fully repulsed by John Pear.
Oh, yeah. He really sounds terrifying. I'll read the description of him.
Yes, please, please.
Let me see. Because, I mean, he is so weird. He's so weird.
No, he's, like, you guys think that, like, you don't even know that this kind of person could exist. Okay?
Yes.
He's okay.
Here's John Pear. He was there, watching her. It had to be him. It could be no one else. Yellow flecks like gold beneath the waters glittered in his eyes. John Pear. His red cheeks grew redder, a rising fever for her. His breathing was too fast, and his wide chest rose and fell like a signal, forcing her own pulse faster. Next to him, the other boys, even though they were seniors, were mere reeds without muscle or brawn. He was a man.
Oh, God.
He was so handsome, and yet not handsome at all, but roughly crude, a mix that gave her the same sinking dizziness she'd felt when she entered the school. John Pear, she thought, and the two words of his name, this is so fucking weird, seemed precious and perfect. John Pear, and now he's mine. I have it all. But she said nothing to him. She could think of nothing to say. She knew not one single thing with which to start a conversation. His smile broke like thin ice over black water, like danger. Blah, blah, blah. But John Pear's look was not romantic, not affectionate, but fierce. Their eyes locked as if in combat. She was afraid of him. Slowly, she made a partial turn away from John Pear, pretending to hear the French assignment. He slowly winked, terrifying, slowly shifted his own gaze, slowly bestowed upon her the corner of a smile. It was only a wink, but it was sickeningly violent and completely sexy. Her blood pounded in her ears. The bell rang. It startled her heart. Like, what? Here, okay. He was next to her. She shivered with extraordinary heat and felt herself glow. He touched her cheek in an unusual way, dotting it vertically with the very tip of his fingers, a real face-off moment.
I can't.
She thought the touch would penetrate right into her brain and give her away. Through the pads of his fingers, he would discover somebody else's brain living in that identical flesh. But it did not happen. "Did you miss our little gifts to each other, Madrigal?" he whispered.
What? The gifts thing, I was like, uh-oh. I'm scared.
Let me see if I can find another John Pear description in here. Because now he's talking to her, blah, blah, blah. Courage grew in her. "Come," she said. "Walk me to my next class, John Pear." The fucking, all right, his name is J-O-N space P-E-A-R. John Pear.
John Pear.
His eyes were like a tiger. John Pear. John Pear. His eyes were like a tiger's, the pupils vertical. "You want to do it again, what? Don't you?" he said to her. And I was like, how? Oh, I guess they had vertical sex.
He's a cat man. Wait, how?
And then this is the part where I went, who is this person?
Wait, okay. I think of this is going to be the moment where I screamed.
Heart beating wildly, wondering what it was. "I am John Pear," he said softly, as if beginning an incantation, as if he were an emperor reminding his subject who he was.
What? Okay, wait.
"I am John Pear."
Can you get to the part where, I think I literally said out loud, "What the fuck?" When he does something.
Well,
do you know what I'm talking
of course,
about?
Yes. That is when I texted you, "What is this book?" But that moment when he says, "I am John Pear,"
I was like,
what's happening? She has said your name like 5 times.
Also, it's very weird because I don't remember exactly where it is, but they kind of insinuate that like that's what they call him, but like maybe his real name is something else because yes, that's what you call me.
We find out his story.
Well, also, she's like, "Why isn't he ever in class?" And you're like, wait.
Yeah, why? That's a good question.
Is John Pear like 32?
Is John Pear real? And John Pear, she repeated, tucking his name into her own heart, knowing already that nobody ever called him by just one of his names or by a nickname. He took her hands, and it seemed that their hands merged and became one. He looked into her hazel eyes, and his yellow eyes focused on her as if, from now on, she would see only what John Pear saw. I mean, she is she is swooning and terrified.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay, before the moment that he does something.
Okay.
He says something that's very insane.
I'm not about to read it. I just wanted to read this other part where I was like,
I think you might be reading. I hope.
Her hair, which had always had feelings, prickled beneath his palm, each strand fighting to be free, whatever choice John Pear meant. Oh, yeah, because he has just said, "Shall we choose again?" And she's like, huh? Whatever choice John Pear meant, it was not love and not nice. Evil soaked his speech. I was like, your hair has feelings?
Yes. She's like, as it always has. And I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Okay, okay. Then there's a moment where he like leans into her.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm your twin now. And I'm yes. like, what?
No. At last, you have somebody who truly understands you, a twin of the heart and soul instead of the flesh and blood. It's like, no.
And then he like keeps throughout the book, keeps being like, you got rid of the fake twin. Like, I'm your real twin.
I'm the real
you
twin.
You and me, we're twins.
I am your twin. We are twins together, and I am your twin, and you are my twin. But here's the fucking craziest part of yes. the book. And there's more crazy parts to come.
Yes.
John Parr came very close. He took her hands away from her face as if they were his hands, as if he owned them, as if she had them only on loan.
Oh,
my God.
What
was he doing?
Oh,
again,
no.
His fingertips dotted her cheeks.
Stop. Oh, my
what
God.
What did he? John Parr held a small glass vial beneath her eye. He caught her tears within it and capped them with a tiny black rubber stopper. The vial on a heavy gold chain around his neck fell back against his chest and swung there. She stepped back from him, staring from the glitter of his yellow eyes to the captured tears. Which, by the way, later in the book, she says, also have feelings.
Yes.
One tear remained caught in her long lashes, and this he touched with a bare finger, transferring the tear to himself. He looked down onto her tear like somebody telling fortunes, and a wild and boyish smile crossed his face. He ate the tear.
Huh? I felt truly ill. When he ate
like,
the tear.
This is real terror. I feel unsafe.
I felt absolutely unsafe. It like he ate the tear. That's like very disgusting to me.
It is just as Mary Lee had always been able to feel her hair, so she could feel her stolen tear.
Oh my God.
And he's wearing, you guys, he's wearing a slippery silk vest and then a fucking glass vial around his neck with a tear in it.
Oh my God, this is some edgelord shit.
Why was he dressed like that? Why didn't he wear jeans and a shirt like everybody else? What kind of statement was John Parr making? I am your twin now. Now there was a sick and frightening statement. I lost my twin, John Parr. You cannot replace her. Nobody, nothing could replace her.
Dude. So he's just wearing, I bet you he's wearing slacks.
Mm-hmm.
Slacks and a silk vest.
Mm-hmm.
Is he wearing a shirt?
It doesn't specify, but I assume.
Oh God. He's so like edgelordy, like, oh, he's disgusting.
It's so funny. He thinks he is a creepy man in an anime.
I was just gonna say an anime creepy guy. He is. And also, okay, so he thinks he's that. And, okay, I understand that, like, that technically what he is doing, what he and Madrigal were doing was pretty evil.
Mm-hmm.
But it did seem like a step down of, like,
eating her tears.
Yeah, from eating the tears.
Until it got to the part with the rats, I would agree.
Okay, the rats were very confusing.
I was so confused.
Okay. So he's like, you have to choose. And she's like, me and do it. Because she's also like, I don't know what the
she's
fuck.
She's also trying to fake that she's still Madrigal.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. If I did it last, maybe your turn.
And he's like, I did it last time, Madrigal. And she's like, oh, I remember. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, fine, I'll pick. And so he chooses this like sophomore who's younger than them and is like very chatty and excited to be included in something.
Katie,
poor Katie. And they're like, we're going to this party. You want to come with us? And she's like, yeah, sure. So she gets in the car and they're driving and he starts to go towards the highway. And they're like, why are we going in the highway? And he's like, because it's shorter this way. And he's like, and he like kind of looks at Madrigal like all excited. Madrigal's like, what the fuck's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And they get off of, so they're going through the city. And the girl was like, I didn't know the party was in the city. And he's like, yeah. And apparently the city is very scary and evil.
Yeah. And Full of rats.
Full of giant rats. Like, I'm not even, we're not exaggerating. It was like to a point where I think there were like,
I'm gonna read like, a description.
Yeah, like mass wise, more rats than people.
Like, he's some sort of Willard.
Yeah, he's and kind of Willardy. Yeah, no, he is Willardy because is Willardy. of what happens.
So, all right. Also, this is very like fucking white racist panic.
Yes, it is, because the city, the urban uh-huh. area is scary. Yeah, it was.
So the suburbs ended. The city began. It was a city whose symphony and museum, fabulous department stores, and famous shops lay in the very center. Ring upon ring of abandoned wrecks of buildings circled the safe part. The safe part. Joke. This was not a city with safe parts. Was contained in a very small area. People drove into the city only on the raised highway, keeping themselves a story higher than the human debris below. What? It was a place where garbage was permanent and graffiti was vicious. This is racist as fuck.
It's the also, yeah, it's died very, in pain, like, terrifying.
And the drug
yeah.
dealers prowled like packs of animals looking for victims. And, like, thank God she never mentions race, but, like, come on.
It's just, it's a very, like, 80s edutainment idea of the city, you know?
It's like as if this takes place in, like, Escape from New York.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they pull out into these neighborhoods. The road onto which he exited was pockmarked like a disease. Shadows moved out of their own accord, and fallen trash crawled with rats. John Pear, you got off too soon, said Katie nervously. People never get off the highway here. Get back on. The only safe exit is another mile up. This is a terrible neighborhood. Even I know that. John Pear, we can't drive here. He keeps driving. A gang in leather and chains moved out of the shadows to see what was entering their territory.
I forgot about this gang.
Yikes. John Pear, said Mary Lee, too afraid to look and much too afraid not to look. What are you doing? It was impossible to imagine that human beings lived here. It was another planet, as the mind of John Pear was another planet. The gang could have enveloped the car, but perhaps they were too surprised, for they simply watched and John Pear turned the corner. Or maybe it's like, that's just like not what they do, Mary Lee.
Yeah.
Like, they don't just attack any car that comes into their neighborhood.
Also, also funny is that it's like, that. And you mentioned this earlier, that it's like a leather gang. Like, it's all leather daddies.
Yeah. Leather
this
and
is a
chains.
Very... It's a very, like, Tobias Fünke idea of, like, gangsters.
Of how they dress. Yes.
Yeah.
So he stops, and he's like, oh, Katie, you should get out of the car and get into the front seat with us. And Katie, like, doesn't respond. Or she's like, I don't want to get out. And she's not yeah. smiling. And John Pear is, like, grinning like a Cheshire cat. And he mm-hmm. says, what do you think we're going to do? Leave you here? And it's like, oh, I guess that is what's happening. And so mm-hmm. she gets out and he fucking drives off slowly so that she chases them first.
It's like just slow enough that like she just can't get back in.
Yeah.
It's so mean.
And Katie could only a few miles an hour and Katie could keep up with them if she ran fast enough. Katie pounded on the metal of the car. Stop the car! Let me in! What are you doing? Do you want me to get killed? She was screaming. Her own screams would bring the gang. Mary Lee was immobilized. This, then, was the entertainment of her own twin. Evil without vampires. Evil without rituals. Evil without curses or violence. The simple and entertaining evil of just driving away. She's like, trying to grab onto the glass.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just loving what the panic is doing to her face.
Oh, yeah. He likes to see people think they're going to die.
Yeah. The way he puts it is like, he likes to watch panic turn people into animals.
Yes. And then they leave her behind. And so she's out of sight for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Madrigal gets, I'm sorry, Mary Lee, aka Madrigal, gets like also pushed out.
Mm-hmm. Later. So blah, blah, blah. She asks what he did to Scarlet, now understanding more about like the kind of torture he was enacting.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, she was much more scared than Katie. I like talking about it. Scarlet didn't even run after us. She just folded up on the sidewalk. Then here's where I was like, I don't understand what this book is. Then rats came out to investigate. She didn't get bitten or anything, but they walked on her. She went insane for a while, I guess. It was so neat. We followed her block after block, just watching. She was seeing rats everywhere. She ran deeper into the tenements instead of out. She kept screaming, help, as if anybody here would help anybody. Like, are they in Gotham? What's going on?
It felt very Arkham City. Like, it was very weird. Yeah. Oh, also, I love the way that that Mary Lee gets him to talk about it. She's like, what happened with Scarlet? And he's like, don't you remember? And she's like, I just like to hear you say it to me, the story that I also know. And
yes. We both know this story, but I'd love to hear it again. And you tell it like a bedtime tale. They were probably all laughing, too, if they heard over their radios and televisions. So then Katie is falling. She's trying to climb up the car. He accelerates. He turns a corner. Blah, blah, blah. And he says, okay, so Scarlet and Van didn't tell on them. And then old Scarlet was so blown away, said John Pear, that even though a fire truck happened by and found her, she got her story so wrong it was comic. She got the times wrong and the description of the car wrong and the rats wrong. You and I really couldn't have done it. Hysterical. Scarlet set us free. Van's a little irritated, of course. Scarlet spent 2 weeks in a mental ward getting rid of rat visions. Huh? I found a rat put it in her locker. And she ended up back in the hospital. The only thing wrong was I wasn't there to see her face when she opened the locker. There's no point in doing this stuff if you don't get to see them panic. How did he made her go insane with rats?
Yeah, and then he like kept her insane by putting them in her locker. Like it is,
and then he makes her get out, and she starts to panic too. And a rat is running over her shoe, and starting to eat the shoelace.
Oh yeah,
and she like pretends to beg to be let back in, but she's actually I think she's standing strong.
Yeah.
Like in her mind. And she's just like, I got to take this guy out.
Yeah.
Because her foot got caught in like a broken step. And he lets Katie and Mary Lee back in the car. And then, okay. John Pear took Katie's hands away from her face as if those were his own, as if Katie had them on loan. Her face was stricken and tear-strained. He chose a tear, lifting it carefully with a bare finger. He looked down onto the tear like somebody telling fortunes, and a wild and boyish smile crossed his face. He ate the tear. So just exactly what she had written before.
Exactly what she wrote before. I mean, honestly, enough with the tears, John Pear. We get it.
Yeah, because he's not a wizard.
No.
He's not some, like, evil warlock eating tears and, like, casting spells. He's just fucking weird.
I know.
And so I know. Now she knows he's that she was sent away to be kept away from Madrigal.
And the parents knew that she was not Madrigal because, like, the second they saw her, they were like, oh, the not evil one survived.
Yeah.
And they were like, she's coping. I don't know. Like, so they were actually, like, very relieved that Madrigal is now out of their hair because, like, it was a very, like, we need to talk about Kevin situation. So they were like, whew, thank God. But now this is the part, there's like a big chunk of this book where Mary Lee is like, I need to figure out a way to defeat John Pear. And I was like, girl, just beat him in the head with a baseball bat. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like her like weird, like where she's like, okay, I have to pretend to like be next to him and like pretend to still be. And then she comes out as being Mary Lee, and she still is like, I have to figure out how to defeat John Pear. I'm like, just do an act of violence on him. I don't know what to tell you. Like, whatever you're doing is bullshit.
I love the moment was very where strange. She tears the vial of tears off of his neck and she just throws it aside.
It's like taking away his amulet.
I thought that was a fun scene. But then she's like, I know, I'll make sure he wants to do something at the winter carnival. Winter sleigh day.
And then when he gets really excited about it, because like she's like, I challenge you. Whatever you do, don't do something evil at winter sleigh day. But she's like trying like to get him to
do it. Knowing full well, yes.
And so he says to her, we'll have a contest, you and me, Mary Lee. Welcome to my playground. There are no rules. There is no such thing as fair play. I don't give warnings. I will win. And she's like,
win at what?
She's like, ah! and then... He then freaks out and, like, tries to beat up Van. So she gets in between them. And John Pear says, Madrigal, this is my game. And she's like, these are people. They aren't a game. And then because he accuses her of liking Van because he's like, there's no good people in the world. And she's like, Van's a good person. He's like, you want to fuck Van? And she's like, oops, shit. And then she says to herself, hold on, I want to see.
Giggles are very okay, funny.
Goes, she goes, nobody blocked the path of John Pear.
John like, Pear is so. Legendary.
Legendary John Pear. It very, very funny. Oh, and then she thought, who is John Pear? She thought, staring at his fury. Oh, so this is before he knows that she's Mary Lee.
Oh, okay.
I remember I had to go back and take a picture of nobody blocked the path of John Pear.
Understandable.
Okay. So then this is the part. Okay. So she's like staring at herself in the mirror and talking to Madrigal, where she's like, I'm mad at you, Madrigal. You knew better. I don't care how powerful or exciting John Pear was. You could have just chosen not to be a part of it. How could you do that? Oh, because she finds out that John Pear and Madrigal watched someone drown. And she goes,
yeah, you and I forgot about that. That's actually terrible.
Yeah. And he's like, it's not illegal, which it isn't, unless it's a child drowning. You have no duty to help, so you cannot be found criminally liable. Really? Yeah.
I guess that makes sense because you'd be risking yourself too. It's horrible, though.
It's just like, yeah. So the only time that it's that you are required to help is if you had something to do with what put the person in peril, or if it is a child, because you have a duty to children. Okay. So then she's like, Madrigal. I forgive you. You're still my twin, my beloved twin, still my beloved sister. You are still half of me, and I am still half of you. I love you, Madrigal. Rest in peace, Madrigal. I am Mary Lee, and I will beat John Pear. It's this so anime.
Like very VC Andrews, too.
Yes, it's very VC Andrews. It's very anime. It's very, like...
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a lot of these like declarations by Mary Lee where she's like, this simply will not stand, John Pear.
For I am Mary Lee, the other twin. You are childish, John Pear. Don't you dare do anything at winter sleigh day. John Pear, I will cross paths with you, for my vote is not for this.
She's so fucking dweeby. I think.
Yes.
I think like there's. Yeah. Like Mary Lee is very dorky. And especially when like. Okay. So then you think the craziest of crazy is over. Correct? Mm-mm. Incorrect. Because we still have winter sleigh day. And then John Pear is like more like SLAY day to her. And she's like, I'm scared.
Oh, no. He respelled it, and now it means something different. Pun. An evil pun.
Hell.
What won't he stoop to?
So he does this, like, despicable pun, and she's like, scared, but she's ready because she's going to take him down somehow. She actually does not have a plan, but she's like, I'm going to take him down. She's no plan, zero plan.
She's still, my plan is that I won't watch someone drown with him.
Oh my God. I did like that Caroline B. Cooney was like, I can't have my main character murder somebody or be part of murder. So I'm just going to have her be like a conscientious objector.
Like a weird lottery story.
Truly. And everything happens so much in a flash too.
Yeah. I was like, wait, did that just happen?
Yes. So they're all out on the ice. And the certain parts of the water or of the ice are still too thin to go on. So the area that they do this like ice skating race on is like the thicker part. And everybody knows, like, don't go on to the thinner part of the ice. And everybody is, she's standing with John Pear, which even then I was like, why is she going to the winter sleigh day with John Pear? Whatever.
To like so watch him, I guess.
Oh yeah. So okay, I've been talking a lot. Do you want to see what happens?
I have read so many passages. Please continue.
Okay. So she's like, John, you're evil. And he's like, I'm gonna like pick you up and drop you on the ice. So he does it. And she's like, ow, my butt. And she looks up and there's like a group of students led by Van, and they're like, sup, John Pear. We heard you like to watch people drown. And also they're armed with icicles, which is insane. Uh-huh. They all have like icicles that will melt if they try to murder him. And he's like, what's up, guys? And at first he's all cocky, but then he starts to get scared when he realizes that they are armed and they're surrounding him. And they're like, what if we watch you drown, John Pear? And she's like, guys, we can't stoop to this. If he were to drown, we have to save him. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up, Mary Lee. And then this little kid who's like skating on the ice.
They literally vote. Like Katie says, I vote to have John Pear drown. And they all go, second. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? And they laughed because nobody... is doing, and then Mary Lee says, I am opposed.
Oh, that's right. She's like, guys,
we have to be decent whether John Pear is or not.
That's right. She's like, we have to be the good we want to see in the world. And everyone's like, okay, whatever. And then this kid is like skating and he accidentally goes into where it's too thin and falls through the ice. And he's actually closest to where John Pear is right now. And Mary Lee, for some reason, thinks that John Pear will save this child.
Nonsense.
She's like, it's your chance to prove yourself. And he's like, LOL. He's like half chubbing watching this kid fucking drown. He's like, no, I'm not going to save them.
Which is pretty stupid because if he had, then he would have saved himself.
That's true. He would have saved himself. But Mary Lee's like, fine, I'll save the child. And she goes over and she falls in the ice. And so everybody has to save her. And in the hubbub,
she, better than that, runs to him, punches through the ice with her fists.
That's pretty tight.
And then pulls this kid up.
Yeah. And then she kind of like falls into the water a little bit. So people are pulling her out. And she looks around and she's like, was John Pear a phantom this whole time? He's gone. And then everyone's like, Mary Lee, you must be freezing. Let's take you to the shore. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Come over here. And she sees John Pear under the ice.
Do you mind if I read this part?
Please read it.
So, yeah, they're like, your ski suit's turning to ice. Come on, let's move it. But when she moved it, she saw the colors in the water, bright bleeding colors beneath the churned ice floating in the frigid water. She stepped forward to see more clearly, and Jordy and Kip, Kenneth and Steven stepped between her and the ice. It'll freeze over again, said Jordy. Temperature's dropping as we speak, said Kip. Time to go in, said Van. This mob, her new friends. Had they held him under? They trampled him when she thought they were rushing to rescue Brian? That's a little boy. Or had John Pear slipped of his own accord, and just as he never rescued anybody, nobody rescued him? Which of these boys and girls had shrugged and let him drown? Or had he let himself drown? Had he known for a few seconds at least how evil he was? I will never know what Madrigal really planned to do on that visit, she thought. I will never know why she switched ski suits with me or what would have happened if the ski lift hadn't broken. And unless I ask, I will never know how John Pear found his way beneath the ice to stay there until spring. Carry her, advised Katie. I think she's going into shock herself. Lift her up on your shoulders and carry her to the warming cabin. They were ready to let the ice freeze over and the past stay past. And they lift her up in the air and everybody's like shouting and cheering because they're like, oh, I guess she's like Princess of Winter Sleigh Day. Hooray!
That part was so strange.
Thinking there must have been a vote they didn't know about. There was a vote, thought Mary Lee, and I voted no. I have to remember that. I wasn't able to stop evil, but I didn't stand and watch it either. John Pear didn't win. I won. I'm Mary Lee, and I'm glad.
That part, I was like, okay, Caroline B. Cooney.
It's crazy because she says, and unless I ask, I will never know how John Pear found his way beneath the ice. And so she doesn't.
She doesn't. So she's like, doesn't I ask. What? Honestly, she's like, I'm such a good person because I did not push him under the ice. However, it's really nice when mob rule just like completely just like, does everything for you.
Because like sometimes, you know what, a broken clock strikes twice a day.
She's so like, and when she's like, I am Mary Lee and I'm glad. I was like,
like you're still like a really weak person.
It's still a really weak person.
You're still just like a big dud.
Yeah, you're like a dud person, like
it, fucking honest, milk dud of a human.
It was, I mean, what a beautiful story. Like truly, I think this will be maybe my hardest recommendation to read so of the year so far, as far as point horror era books. Just because it's such a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, by hardest, you mean like you're recommending it the most.
Yes, the most.
Yes. Agreed. This is an absolute must read for everyone who listens to this podcast, because what we have read and explained to you is not nearly the experience of reading the book. It's like fucking weird.
Yeah. It's seriously is maybe one of the weirdest books that we've ever read. And that's the thing I loved about it is that there were definite choices that were then doubled down on. Because a lot of times, you know how we're like, we like read something and we're like, man, I would have liked if like this person was a little more, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This, everyone was at an 11.
Everyone was more.
Everyone was so much. I'm trying to see the good reads. people don't really like this book on Goodreads.
They're wrong. They're wrong. And
they're
it's good.
So wrong. They're so wrong.
That's a crime.
Yeah. An absolute crime. I would say 5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars. Great. I mean, there are a lot of people that did like it. Michael Burhans likes it.
Good for Michael Burhans.
Oh my God. Okay. I mean, people, I'm reading these people's reviews and they're just like, I just feel like this book is weird.
Yeah, it is. Like that's what's good about it.
Like, they're like, I don't believe that twins are that close. Like, twin waves, really?
Oh my God. What a boring ass take. I don't believe twins are that close.
Okay, hold on.
I didn't like it.
Wait. Ready? Uh-huh. Okay, the way that this review ends is, okay, I'm tired of writing now and I want to watch Bones, so I'm going to end this review. My dad loaded all the seasons up to season 6 on my computer, so I'm going to catch up on my Bones. I'm rambling now, so Twins is a good book and I recommend it as a quick read, but if you're looking for something deep, well, it's not here.
Oh, what a perfect review.
Stunning.
Absolutely perfect.
Stunning.
5 stars on that review.
Oh, this person gave it 2 stars. Held my interest, but was just okay. Clean story.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
Okay, Green Glasses rated it 1 star. What? This book was really weird.
God, embrace it, you assholes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was interesting.
Oh, also, they don't like that they call him John Pear too much.
I'm sorry. No, they're wrong.
No. And then all the reasons that we love it, they're like, this is stupid. Like, they don't like that he says Winter Sleigh Day, S-L-A-Y.
That is so stupid.
This is bad. See, here we go. Oh, man. Ivan Chan, a king. Ready? I always wondered how being a twin felt. Twins are fascinating people that can be similar and different. But after reading this book, I realize how those similarities and differences lead to hatred and evilness. Oh, that.
What?
Whoa. Okay.
I just left a review to try to help. Oh, thank goodness.
I hope every person on earth understands the meaning of respect. And think about your actions, because we're humans. We may annoy people. We may tend to do things that others may not like. But living life to the fullest is something I learned from this book.
What?
Go with your guts and be safe. This book was despair, but exciting, and a great way to tell the way a twin feels from one point of view and how the others feel. Ivan Chan, I love you.
Oh, somebody in their review said, reread this for episode 7 of the Teenage Scream podcast.
Oh.
Which also reviews 90s teen horror. This was April 12th, 2017. I bet this person hosts the podcast. Kirsty.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
I support suggesting your own podcast.
I support that as well. I was saying, oh, my God, because somebody doesn't like the book because they think that Mary Lee really should have been renamed Mary Sue. And I'm like, in what way? In
no.
what way is Mary
How
Lee
is
Mary
she?
Sue?
Again, I'm
She's
sorry,
like,
but incorrect.
Terrible. She's like very bad at everything and is very terrible. Oh,
Another
my God.
Another mention of Teenage Scream. The brand is strong.
Yeah, a strong brand. I honestly loved this book. I think it was pure camp. I mean, come on. It was so next level. Like, a guy is eating tears. They're watching.
Michael Burhan's you said this, review. You mentioned him, right?
Yes. Michael Burhan.
Did you read the whole thing?
No.
Okay. Yet another really good but very uncomfortable book from Caroline B. Cooney. It was very good and compelling and as uncomfortable as a hair shirt. Her books always seem to find little nooks and crannies of the human psyche and exploit them. And then here is where I disagree with Mr. Burhan's. Even though her books are never fun, I read them all because they are always thought-provoking and worth the read.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something about what I think Michael Burhan thinks this book is, because he's saying it's a very uncomfortable book. So I think maybe he thinks this book is too disturbing, because he's like, you know, it's not fun, but it's worth it to really understand the nooks and crannies of the human psyche.
It's a thinker. That's
it is a
so
thinker.
Funny, because I was like, this is a fun ass ride.
No, this is an absolute roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. For literally every single, love this, Bex, 4 stars, 10th psychological story with a WTF ending. This was interesting and well written, if a little rushed to finish. I wonder if Mary Lee ever asked the question of the mob. I wonder too, probably not.
What? This review is baffling. Okay. Marna rated it 2 stars for one. This review is from 2015.
Bad.
Wrote a really dumb blog post on this no one read. I thought I'd try one of those literally what happens approaches to WordPress popular among younger millennials with apparently no education / ability to actually write and miss the bandwagon on even that. I don't think anyone is even writing those anymore. Ah, well, back to writing fake hippie bullshit about the lessons I've learned in life, et cetera, when really I could give less of a shit. I want to be well-fed, read dumb books, watch dumb movies, and not get cancer.
Okay, Marna, I'm going to tell you something.
That is a wild ride in itself, huh?
I'm going to tell you something. I think, you know, I wouldn't blame the fact that nobody read your blog post. Also, you didn't even link to your blog post. This is why nobody's reading it.
Very confused by this review.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
younger
like
younger millennials.
Well, thanks for calling us young. Honestly, I loved this book for every reason that people did not like it. Someone called it a hysterical fantasy. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah, it is. So it makes it so beautiful.
Nailed it. Wrong review. Wrong rating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So funny. Anyway, a must read. An absolute must
absolutely. Read. It's on Open Library, and you can rent it for 14 days at a time, which is a huge relief.
I couldn't. Somebody must have checked it out or something. Or it wasn't showing me how.
It usually just shows at the top, so someone else might have been reading it.
Oh, Teenage Scream does seasons.
What do you mean seasons? Like, do they take time off?
Yeah, because their last post was 2 months ago. Season 7 wrap up. Must be nice, Teenage Scream.
I know. I mean, honestly, we could do that. It's well within our abilities.
We could, but like, people support us on Patreon. I feel we owe people an episode a week.
Oh.
Especially after almost 5 years of this.
Yeah.
We can't just switch to seasons now.
Yeah.
But they're smarter. They're smarter.
They are smarter because they did it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we occasionally are burned out.
They've also been doing it for 2 years.
See that they did it with, like, they knew exactly what they were doing and they did it away. Whatever. It must be nice. I have no idea how to, I just need to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Because this happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I needed to share it with you, and I didn't know how to segue it, so I'm just going to say it.
Oh, right. Yes.
So I went to the Huntington Library, which is a huge, if you're not familiar with it, it's a very big botanical garden, for listeners who might not know. And I actually really suggest it as a distancing thing to do.
I've been thinking about going.
It's great. They do, like, all of their paths are one way only, so, like, you don't go, you know what I mean? Like, you're not really close to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went there with, and we met up with one of our friends. And so that way we were able to safely distance. It was really nice. And they don't allow you to bring in food. So you can bring in like a little snack, but you can't bring in like sandwiches because then that would require you to take off your mask for too long and blah, blah, blah. So they're actually really good about it. And they check your mask and your bag when you go in to make sure it's a good enough mask. So I go there and it's me and Micah and his friend, our friend Wes. And we are basically the way it is because it's all one way pretty much. You're pretty much like behind the same group the entire time because you can't just go wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to say hashtag free the nipple so that way people aren't thinking that I'm fucking anti.
Approved.
Right. But let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For context, from my observations, this was a man and his significant other. And so it's this couple, this guy and this girl. And his parents, and I think they were meeting her for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So great place to choose, right?
Yeah, sure.
Parents love Huntington Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're together in this group, and that's what I'm learning as I'm eavesdropping because I do love eavesdropping.
Sure.
She is like kind of floopy. Like she's just very like I'm a manic pixie dream girl kind of behavior. Just for context, okay? Gotcha. They are like often just the three of them, the parents and the son. And she is like rolling around in a field. You know what I mean? Like she's like doing lots of like look at me behavior.
Okay. But is she literally rolling around in a field?
Yeah. She was like, oh, look, wow. It gets interesting. So she was too hot because she was wearing a long sleeve shirt. So she had purchased a shirt from the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I need a change. There are also plenty of bathrooms around, okay?
Uh-huh.
Takes off her shirt, doesn't go anywhere. Just takes off her shirt, titties out. No bra.
No bra?
Just titties out.
Oh my God.
takes off the shirt, titties out. And also, I need you to understand that the guy and his parents are very, like, quiet, nice Midwestern people. So, like, they are very scandalized by this. But they don't do anything. Everyone's just frozen. So she takes off the long sleeve shirt and she puts on the short sleeve shirt. And then her shoe breaks shortly after, possibly, like, because she's wearing, like, a chunky heel.
This is shocking.
Yes. No, so I'm freaking out already because I saw the titties. And I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? And Micah and Wes were just like, oh, yeah, that's weird. And I was like, hello?
What?
Yeah, I was like, excuse me?
No, that's truly bananas.
Yeah, and yeah. So then she breaks her shoe or something. So she's like, I know, I'll solve the problem. And, like, stomps over to some caution tape that's, like, blocking off a bathroom, rips it down, and ties it around her foot.
Wow, this is the clearest example of real life manic
yes.
pixie dream girl behavior yes. I've ever heard.
Yes. And she was just very, like, doing, yeah, she was doing, like, a lot of other little things that were very, like, look at me, like, aren't I being wow. so whimsical? And then we were trying to find a place to sit down so that my friend could eat his muffin away from people because there's, like, some fields and, like, open areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, oh, let's go over to the, there's this, like, little pond area where you can spread out pretty, like, no one in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, walks up to us and is like, there's this really magical spot, like, over there, and, like, tells us, like, where to go. And the whole time I was just like, this is the person who took off her shirt and tied it. I can look at the caution tape around your foot. So I was just, like, frozen, staring at her. I, like, didn't know what to do. I was just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And Micah and Wes were just, like, very normal. And they were just like, oh, thanks. And wow. we left. But I was like, hello.
That girl is too much.
Yeah, too much, right? And also, like,
there is a difference between posting photos of yourself on Instagram.
Sure.
And not getting shamed for it.
Right.
And, like, putting that on other people in real life who did not sign up for it.
Absolutely. Because I wasn't that scrolling Instagram. You know? I was
a bit
at
of
the
consent.
Garden. Yeah. No, yeah. It was very interesting because, like, okay, her method of, like, getting privacy to change her shirt was to face away from the group she was with and towards us. And I was just like, I mean, if a guy
took off his shirt, I'd be like, just find somewhere else.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing. I think that I would feel that as well. I would be like, what are you doing? Especially because it was a very, like, look at me type behavior.
Yeah.
It really wasn't a desperation situation.
Oof.
Yeah.
What a handful.
Oh, and her boyfriend was the kind of guy who talked like this. I just need you to know that. So she's like, the rubber band that I was using around my shoe wasn't working. And he was like, well, I told you that the rubber band wouldn't work. And I was like, what is this couple? And they were literally, like, haunting my thoughts. Gosh, and Micah and Wes didn't care.
Somehow.
Huh?
That's weirder to me somehow than the shirt, even.
Oh, no. That,
well, because it's okay, that shirt thing didn't really get as much attention as I was hoping. I'll just wear caution tape around my foot so that people look at me.
Well, it was truly, Lindsay, I want to say 1 minute max after the shirt thing, she did the caution tape thing. And I was just like,
so
alert,
tiring.
Alert.
So tiring.
Yeah, really tiring. Also, I was like panicking because I was just like, I'm the only person noticing this. Why am I the only person noticing? Like, I was just like, I wish I were, like, a dog or a cat so that way I could just, like, stare at them without feeling, you know what I mean? Without uh-huh. feeling like you're not supposed to stare. But I truly was like,
she
I need another story.
You to.
I mean, she wanted me to. And I wanted to.
That is a
I wanted
choice.
To know.
That is a hard, weird choice.
Yes. And I wanted to be a fly on the wall for the rest of the day because, like, I wanted to know the car ride home, mom and dad by themselves. You know what I mean? I want to know that. Mm-hmm. Of them being like, so, okay, we met his girlfriend.
So that was Sheila.
She's and I just need, okay. Nice. Okay, I need you to understand, and I think that this will all line up, okay, with the type of vibe she was, just so that you can get the full picture, okay? Just mm-hmm. like for her outfit, because I think mm-hmm. this will all track for you, mm-hmm. okay?
Okay.
She's a white woman. I think this is obviously. Very obvious. Okay, she's a white woman, very pale skin, kind of like, just like my hair color brown, like just like normal, mm-hmm. like just very run of the mill, brown, slightly wavy hair. Mm-hmm. Hair down, hair uh-huh. is down. She was wearing a like, okay, the skirt was a little bit around knee length, like jagged hemline. So like up and down, you know, uh-huh. Two layers, an inner layer that's like a slip layer. Outer layer is like crepey and flowy. Okay. With like flowers on it, like big watercolor flowers. Her shirt was her first shirt mm-hmm. was a matching piece that was like a mesh, like that still crepey material outside with like a little tank top underneath. But she did take off the little tank top also, which is why the titties were out. That so it was like a top skirt combo. Okay.
Okay.
Long sleeve though, with the crepe that goes all the way down, skin tight. And the shoes were chunky heeled Mary Janes, and the strap like
broke. Okay.
And they're black. Oh, actually they were open toed though. So like they were like, you know, that chunky look of like a Mary Jane, but then like just imagine the toe part is off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then carrying like three really big plastic bags full of stuff.
What?
Well, yeah, what? Like, well, she went to the shop, so I think she bought things other than.
How much could you want to buy at the Huntington Gardens?
Listen, I have no idea, but apparently she bought other stuff other than the child. Oh, also the shirt that she changed into was what looked to be from the cut of it and how short it was. Because I don't think they sell body, belly shirts at Huntington.
Uh-huh.
Was like a child's like Huntington Garden white t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
So like that was like the vibe. And she was like very.
So exhausting.
Yeah. Very floopy. Very just like not just. Because like I get.
How old?
Very like. Oh, I want to say probably like 23.
Okay.
That age. Because I get very, you know, plant nerdy at the gardens, right? Like I'll be like, oh, look at that flower. It's so striking. Or I'll be like, oh, look at that animal. Or I'll like smell, you know, I'll, mm-hmm. if no one's around, I'll pull down my mask and I'll smell a flower or mm-hmm. something. But she was just very... like not just walking over somewhere to look, but like flouncing, you know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of added like, oh, look at me. She's run over to this fountain. Yeah.
Oh, boy. She was just living in her own little movie.
Oh, yeah. Main character syndrome for sure. Like she mm-hmm. thought she was in 500 Days of Summer.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because that's like way older than her time.
That is way older. She wouldn't even know what it is. So I was having a panic attack watching this situation, especially because the people I was with were just like, oh yeah,
I was like, hello. That.
So I was like, truly, I wish that I could trade you out for somebody else that would be freaking out like me. Oh my god,
I need to switch you out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I need to bench you.
Yeah, I need to like, else. Yeah, change my party understand. Companions.
How was Micah not freaking out about this?
Because he was trying to be, like, polite. Okay. He was, because we were pretty close and, like, not close, obviously, for safety reasons. Like, right. We were probably, like, 50 feet away, but definitely close enough that they could probably hear it when I was like, what the fuck is that? I was like, he's staring. And he'd be like, Kelly, let's go. And I'd be like, do we not see this?
Are we not going to acknowledge the truth of this reality?
But anyway, that was my thing that I was like, I need to tell Lindsay because like, I think I'll get some solidarity.
Yes. What?
Thank you.
One time, my first improv class in Los Angeles at Groundlings.
Mm.
There was a what's the word? I'm kind of batty, loopy girl.
Mm-hmm.
There's older always, than me. I think she was probably there's always more like 40.
Right.
Late 30s, maybe. And she's doing a scene and it's like a first date scene. And mm-hmm. she's being way too weird on this date to try to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally takes her shirt off in the scene rather than miming
it. Oh my
God. Just fully takes her shirt off, boobs out. No bra.
Oh, what?
And the teacher stopped the scene. He was like, put your shirt back on right now. Never, ever do that on stage.
Oh my God.
Never. If you want to mime, like already that wasn't the right choice for that scene. That was a panic move.
It's like taking out a gun.
Yes.
Or killing yourself on stage.
It's like killing yourself on stage. Exactly. She just fully took her clothes off. He's like, you need to mime those things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Similarly, don't touch the other people you're in the scene with.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It was wild.
Ugh. 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 Mm-hmm. I can't. I feel such cringe at that.
It was bad. It was really bad. I was.
What did you do? Did you just gasp?
I was like 22 at the time. And I was like, looking around, youngest person in class by far.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, that's so. Ryan was telling me about one time that she was in an improv scene and someone on her team killed himself in the scene. So she just left him on the stage.
Well, he left her first.
Yeah. Because she was like, I don't need to be here for this. Just left.
You can't do this to me.
Yeah, don't fucking do this. What are you doing? But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that, but, you know, in person, in real mm-hmm. life.
On an actual date. With
on an actual date with their parents there.
Oof. So that's like that was not acceptable in an improv scene, therefore not acceptable in real life. But now we know that was like something that would happen.
Mm-hmm. It would.
So retroactively, I owe that girl an apology.
Yeah, you need to go. You need to find her and be like, I made some serious mistakes in judging you.
Like, did I actually say anything to you out loud? No, but I was judging you in my head. And for that, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But also don't do that.
Don't do that.
You shouldn't have done it. It was weird.
It's really weird. I just feel like no matter who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are in some kind of classroom situation, you don't need to take your shirt really off.
No.
Ever.
It's just not appropriate. I'm sorry, but it's not appropriate.
I know that sounds prudish, but
where we are. I don't think that this is a backwards thinking on our part.
No.
I don't think we're on the wrong side of history on this. I think that you shouldn't just like fully bury your breasts at a public place.
No. No, no. And no matter what kind of breasts they are, I don't think they need to really be out.
Like if you're doing one of those, I'm in a desert, there's no one around, I'm standing on a rock, I'm naked, posting a photo on Instagram, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even honestly, like you're at the beach and you're at like a beachside cafe where like it's like on the strand. You know what I'm saying? And everyone's like that.
Well, if
fine.
That's like the except, if you're on like a nude beach, then yeah, go for it. If that's the known standard.
Right.
Sure.
It's what people do. I think that's what the thing is. Just look around. If you're the only person taking your shirt off, like don't do it.
At the Huntington Library and Gardens, don't.
Yeah. I would say at the Huntington Library and Gardens, you probably don't need to take your shirt off at all.
And like, is it sort of tricky? Like, well, who's going to? Somebody's got to be first if this is what's done. Somebody's got to be the first one to take their shirt off. But it's not what's done. You will know beforehand if you are in a place that's okay with your shirt being off.
I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, there were no shirts are coming off vibes.
Yes.
From my experience there. So I don't think you need to take your shirt off.
And that's the lesson here.
So that's the lesson, and that's what we learned from Twins.
Yes.
Please read it. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, everybody. We really appreciate you. And thank you to our supporters on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/teencreeps. We have different levels with different, perks and more episodes that you can access that way. And thank you. We'd give a special shout out to our Patreon producers who give it the $15 level. Thank you to Amanda Nangle,
Anne Dwyer,
Ashley Fritz,
Brian Petty II,
Claire Moore,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle LaManna,
Danny,
Emily Pooley,
Emma
Murray,
Gabriela Santiago,
Gianna Fernandez,
Grace Armstrong,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jessica Smith Harper,
Jonathan Venable,
Jordan Colwick,
Karen Lewis,
Kat Miller,
Katie Lilly,
Katie Olsner,
Kelly Burns,
Chris Darina,
Landry Desmond,
Laura Hooper,
Lonnie Martin,
Luke Bartek,
Mandalay Wolschlager,
Marcy Raquel Blackwell,
Marco Pavlicic,
Melody,
Megan Lozier,
Micah Eunice,
Miguel Camacho,
Miranda Hester,
Molly Marks,
Noah,
Oscar Gallegos,
Randy Klett,
Rashad Black,
Rogue Kalahua,
Sersha Descaro,
Sarah
Jaggers,
Sarah Nichelle,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sydney Bollinger,
Tristan Buckner,
Victoria Beck,
Victoria Gray,
and Victoria Valdez.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We appreciate you. And next week, we are reading
The Stalker by Carol Ellis.
Ooh.
Ooh, scary stalkers.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week. In the meantime, wear a mask, get vaccinated as soon as you can, and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.